Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Dairy Isle. It's me, your host, Eli, and I think it's time we talked about our worst interviews. Hello, my lovelies. I am back. I'm sorry for the lateness. Started school again, and I also joined a gym. So, you know, working out my brain and my brawn at the same time. Not that I have much of either, but I'm trying. All right, so bear with me. These things take my time. Yeah, no, they take my time. Not time. They take my time. My time is its own time. I'm going to stop. We have to get into 10 items or less first. All right, and... This first story was supposed to be on a previous episode, but we didn't have space for it, and my producer was begging us to talk about this, and for good reason. A Florida bride and the caterer for her wedding were arrested for serving cannabis-laced dinner to their guests without their knowledge about a month ago, give or take. Yeah, probably closer to 3 weeks. Wedding guests said that they saw the caterer putting a green substance into olive oil before serving it. Allegedly, the catering company tried dumping the leftovers in a neighboring house's trash bin, but police were able to get samples for testing. The two could face up to 5 years in prison and a measly $500 fine, according to the Seminole County Sheriff's Office. So, you know, go Florida, people. We've really made a name for ourselves doing this kind of nonsense. I remember reading about this, by the way, and... It started with a 911 call of somebody calling and saying that they felt weird and they felt drugged. So legit, somebody called the cops to this wedding to be like, I think we're all going to die. So
how would you feel?
You like in the moment or after the fact?
Officer Dare.
Oh, if I was the off, wait, but hold on.
No. You being Officer Dare.
Right, Millie says this because I've only ever tried a drug once.
A wheat.
But I don't like I don't do drugs. I don't touch them. I don't talk about them. Like it's just not my bag, baby. How would I feel about what?
Getting drugged at a wedding.
I'd be fucking furious. Like me personally, yeah.
There's people online that said that the people who called the cops
or what narcs.
Yeah.
And these are the people that want to live that like, bro, fucking. Smoke weed every day, like.
And listen, that's fine.
I know, but you know what?
A smoke out sesh with your buddies,
and that's
after
fine.
After the wedding, but like, have like a separate party for them.
But what kind of loser are you that like you make marijuana a personality trait of you and your life? Like you're known as the pothead, like the person who's constantly smoking. Like that's fucking embarrassing, Doug.
I mean, we know a couple of those, but
we do. But whatever, like it. It's just one of those, like, man. I know that there's worse things that you could use to make your personality like orbit around, but also that one's not great. But yeah, I mean like, I don't,
how do you justify feeding weed to like,
you don't, there's no justification for what these idiots
people
do.
And you know, kids in a, at a wedding.
No, there's like, no justification for that other than being like, hur, hur, this is going to be funny. And they should be appreciative. Like, no, no, absolutely not.
Hard R over here.
No, yeah, definitely. They're neurodivergent.
I looked up to see if there's any like recent news to see if anything has been done, but
right.
I didn't find a single thing. I might have to do my my spy stuff and check online tomorrow. Yeah.
Apparently, Millie in a former life was an asset for the NSA, and that she can find anything.
I have access to attorney things. Y'all don't need to know.
Wow. Abusing your power instantaneously. Anyways.
For cheese me. Do it for the cheese me.
Anyways, the other thing that has nothing to do with this is that we finally got a photograph of Sagittarius A, the super massive black hole at the center of our galaxy. And that is amazing.
It is.
So, for some context, before I read to you the quote, for a long time, it was postulated that the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and really of all galaxies in our observable universe, are gigantic black holes. right? And the galaxy is just rotating around them like a giant sink drain, right? So recently, I think this was 5 days ago that this happened, we got a photo of it. And it wasn't like we pointed like Hubble at the center of the Milky Way and we're like, all right, do your thing, Hubble. No, it wasn't like that. For a better explanation, here is a quote from an article written by Dr. Elizabeth Howell for space.com. Quote, "The historic image of Sagittarius A came courtesy of the Event Horizon Telescope, a planet-wide array of observatories best known for capturing the event horizon of a black hole in Messier 87 or M87 in 2019. The image was taken in sub-millimeter radio waves, revealing there is indeed a black hole embedded in the heart of the Milky Way, eating on any hydrogen gas available. The image was also a massive technological breakthrough after years of attempting to capture Sagittarius A, which is much smaller than M87, end quote. So yeah, now we proved it. And by the way, the picture looks, at for those of you who saw the first ever picture of a black hole that came out a few years ago, it looks like that, same color, same everything, just a little bit different. It's like orange and black with like some yellow spots in it, and that's about it. But yeah, there's a very large black hole at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. That's that bright dot you see in the center of galaxies is actually a giant black hole. That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, we did it, folks. Woo, go science.
That's real.
Mm-hmm.
So the TARDIS is real?
The what?
The TARDIS.
I mean, it could be. I don't know how you got from there to there, but...
I want to be a skin lady. I could never get into that.
You know what I can get into? Playing this ad. Hey folks, are you listening to us on Apple Podcast? If so, why don't you be super awesome and leave us a rating and review on our podcast? Now, each review gives us a little bump that pushes our show higher up in the rankings, which is great because that gives us more visibility. And you can do that by visiting the link on our show notes or the link tree listed on our Instagram. You can also listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcast. All right, we're back. So, as I told you in the beginning of the episode, we're going to be talking about sort of worst interviews, first jobs type deal. It was sort of a little bit of a, you know, twofer there. Because I thought about it, and I've had a lot of jobs, but I haven't had a lot of bad interviews, thankfully. So to give you some background, I've had about 14 or so different jobs in my life, give or take. As it's, you know, possible I'm missing some. But generally speaking, I've been working since I was about 15 or 16 years old. I think that I officially started at PacSun when it was at Sunset Place back in 2005. Back then, I was only part-time, as that was the law for minors. So I eventually found a small loophole once I dropped out of high school. And that was getting a second part-time job. And I found one at American Eagle, which was in the exact same mall. Now, seeing as how these were my first two interviews in the job market ever, you can probably imagine that I was, you know, woefully unprepared for these. My parents at the time weren't very coddling in the sense that my mom or dad didn't really drive me to the mall and have me go store to store to fill out applications. Yes, we actually used to have to fill out paper applications and turn them back in to the live, breathing, living person in the store. I know.
I'm so glad we're past that.
You know what? I miss those days because you actually got to meet someone and tell them your name and they could put a face to the name on the application. You know, now it's just go online and click a couple of buttons and hope that somebody emails you back, and they never do. And it's not that they like don't email you back. That's the most infuriating. It's that you never know.
Was it me? Was it them?
No, just like, bro, call me, email me, be like, hey, you didn't get the job. Okay, cool, fuck off. But just leaving people open-ended like that, I mean, it's so prevalent nowadays, it's infuriating. I hate every second of it. Anyways, my parents told me to skate or bike my happy ass to the mall one Saturday morning to find a job. And I was about 15, so I was old enough to work, and it made sense. So I grabbed my longboard, and I went skating to the mall. I already liked PacSun, but I could never really afford to shop there. So it was just occasionally a place to stop in and browse, talk about skating with the guys, and, well, you know, try talking to girls who were super out of my league. So when the day came, I walked straight into PacSun and asked for an application. I was handed one. I was given a crappy little white Bic pen that didn't have a cap on it. I was told to go sit outside and fill it out. Thing is that the tables out there were, I don't know if you remember this, they had these like black like bistro tables across from PacSun that had all like little holes in them. Mm-hmm. And they didn't give me anything to write on. So I had to physically turn my skateboard over and write on the bottom of the board because it was the only flat surface I had.
Genius. I mean, if you would have been really prepared, you would have brought like a binder or something.
But I wasn't.
But you were.
I mean, I brought some stuff. I brought it with me.
Obviously, you didn't have a resume back then.
No, I really didn't. I filled it out. And keep in mind that, like you said, I didn't have a resume because I was 15. I had no real work history to speak of. So it was a really quick process. Most of it, honestly, was just filling out my personal information. So I turned it in and I got a call that afternoon to come in the following morning for an interview. Little did I know that one of my sister's friends was the assistant manager at the time. So I was basically a shoo-in for the job. Yay, nepotism! Woo! So that interview was fairly straightforward. The reason that I brought that up as one of my worst interviews is because I had no idea what I was doing. And I had no experience at work or in solving problems with teams or anything like that because I didn't like doing group projects in school. So when the interview came through, it was our friend Danny who was interviewing me. And Danny would go to each single person and be like, okay, well, you know, he'd say a question. So I'd be like, oh, give me an example of a time that you used teamwork to solve a difficult problem. And then he would say like, okay, you know, applicant number one, what's your story? Applicant number two, go ahead, right? And he'd write down his notes.
Wait, you guys had group interviews?
Oh yeah, that's the other part. It wasn't like one-on-one. It was like three or four of us with one supervisor.
I should have known at that point. I've only ever had one group interview like that. Mm-hmm. I should have known that at that point, I was going to have anxiety forever into adulthood. Because when I applied at Charlotte Russe many, many years ago.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
I'm like, okay, we'll just be ready. We're going to do like a couple of people and it's going to be like 10. And I was like, what?
Other people? I have to answer questions in front of other people?
Yo. I'm sure that God. Every time that, like, the line got to my side of the room, it was, like, bright red face.
Or just a series of small toots.
I never toot. No.
Oh, you don't?
I never toot. Only in my car.
You've tooted once. Sleep and a hood.
That doesn't count.
It does.
Uh-huh. Continue.
Anyways, so Danny was interviewing us and then he asked that question. It was like, oh, what was one time that you solved like a problem in a group or something like that? And honestly, at the time, the only experience I had was an auto shop in high school where we would fix cars, but we would fix them as groups, right? And so all of my answers were like, well, this one time in auto shop. And he, like at one point, and it was kind of embarrassing now that I look back on it, but funny. He asked a question and when he got to me, he goes, have you ever resolved anything like this outside of auto shop? And everyone was like, ha ha, snicker, funny, ha ha ha. And I was like, no, it's my first job. Like, yeah. I've never. He knew that, but he was my friend. So it, like, he was fucking just picking on me because he's known me since I was a little kid. Yeah. So it was just like, ha ha. I think looking back on it now that Danny, you know, barring a catastrophic interview where I'm just like, I say some horrible shit. You know, pull out a Confederate flag, fucking the South will rise again, and just leave.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, barring that, I'm pretty sure he was just going to give me the job anyways.
You were a Mahong.
Of course. I was an idiot. But he still made me go through the process, which I appreciate. So, Daniel, if you're listening to this, I love you, big guy. I appreciate you showing me the ropes, so to speak.
The ropes.
The ropes. What is that even supposed to mean? I don't know. This fucking idiot over here giving me fucking air quotes and shit like, the ropes.
But that's not even a bad interview, though.
It was just embarrassing looking back on it now with the professionalism that I actually have from having so many jobs and stuff is that, like, I look back on the interview and it's just like, yeesh.
Oof. You don't have any other like cringy?
Oh yeah, the like really cringy. I'll get to in a second. There. I'm trying to do this in and this is canonical order here. So remember that I said that I had picked up a second part-time job after I dropped out and I started working at American Eagle, mm-hmm. right?
This is when you became a dancer.
What?
A dancer.
I can be your private dancer. No, I don't. I never became a dancer.
He does not have the ass for that. It's okay.
I don't have anything for that. I can't.
Rip.
Yeah, the only thing I have for dancing is like Dance Dance Revolution. That's it. I have the body of an arcade gamer. Wow. Yeah, that's about as good as that gets. That's why I'm going to the gym, otherwise known as the gym.
It's the heme. Get it right. Get it tight. Get that ass tight. Okay, all right.
Wow, Hooked on Phonics failed you, didn't it? You know, so somebody missed out on reading Rainbow, didn't they?
I would never.
You know, babe, take a look.
And Wishbone. Babe, hey, you know nothing about that.
Take a look,
you
dog.
Poor enough.
It's in a book, okay? It's reading Rainbow.
So
also, listen, I watched Wishbone, okay?
Wishbone was a shit.
The greatest actor of all time is Wishbone. That guy could put on any costume and be anybody.
Poor guy.
By the way, for those of you who are wondering, the dog who portrayed Wishbone, super turbo dead.
Bruh.
We can keep going. Air Bud, super turbo dead as well.
Wait, I want to know Wishbone.
All the animals from what was that movie? Homeward Bound or Outward Bound or whatever? What the fuck was it called?
I never watched that.
The one with the two dogs and the cat. They all could talk.
Oh yes.
Yeah, all of them are dead. Yeah, the whale from Free Willy probably dead too. Just ruining everyone's time. I'm sorry, guys. It's just the truth. Point is that I went to go do the interview for American Eagle, and I met the assistant manager. I don't remember her name. She's a faceless creature.
Stop. So Wishbone, like IRL, Wishbone, he died in 2001, June 26. He was 13 years old.
Damn, that's old as shit.
He's from Plano, Texas.
Plano.
It's Plano. All right, continue.
Anyways, so I met the assistant manager and she was like, hey, your interview is tomorrow. I filled out the application, same shit. I was like, I've got a resume now. I can put that I work at PacSun.
You still gotta fill this out, bitch.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I was a little more confident in asking for an application or whatever. And the lady was asking me, she's like, oh, do you have a job right now? I was like, yeah, I work over at PacSun, but it's only part time and I just want more hours. And she was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. We can hire you. She gave me the application. I filled it out. I handed it back to her. And she was like, all right, well, listen, we can set you up for an interview tomorrow morning at 9. Is that okay? Bro, to wake up on a Saturday. I remember this shit. It was Saturday morning. And she's like, yeah, you have to be here Saturday at 9 a.m. At 15 years old, I was like, no, sorry, at 16, I was just like, I don't even know what 9 a.m. looks like. Like, my day doesn't actually start till like 11 or 12.
Did you have to skate there? Or did your parents?
Oh, no. I had to skate there.
Yikes
is right.
Ooh,
but
smelly pit.
Yeah, nah, but I was smart. I brought a backpack with a change of clothes and a full bottle of Axe body spray.
Insert the friend smelly cat.
So I fucking woke my ass up super pissed. My stomach was killing me because back then that was a thing that used to happen to me. I would wake up and my stomach hated life. And I like took a shower, I put on some comfy clothes, I grabbed my skateboard, my backpack with my change of clothes, and I headed out and I started skating and I had my headphones and my little iPod Nano. It was a 2 gig white iPod Nano. I had like about 100 songs on there and I was just listening to fucking God knows what. I think I was listening to like We the Kings or something like that. You know, good stuff. And
what an emo.
Super emo. And I made it there at like, I must have left way too early because I got to Sunset Place at like 8:15 in the morning.
That's not bad.
And so I just walk and like security's looking at me like, what the fuck are you, dude? It's like nothing is open right now. Like
cleaning services.
Yeah. Hello. I'm here to clean. No, Mr. Superman, no here.
No.
You buy lemon pledge.
Shout out, Melissa.
No. And I make my way to American Eagle, and I just stand outside the door. I'm just like waiting. Finally, at like 9:05, so the guy's late already. This very, very large black man shows up, impeccably dressed, right? Like brand new jeans, super snazzy shoes, like a what's it called? Like one of those like V-neck. Like sweaters where they pull the sleeve up just up to the middle of their forearm, mm-hmm. and like had a nice watch or whatever, and he had like a little messenger bag. I still remember this guy clear as day with fucking black horn rimmed glasses, and I don't remember his name, but he shows up and gives me the strongest handshake that I had felt up to that point in my life. I thought he was gonna break my wrist.
Is that where you got it from?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like after that, I was like, that's it. When you shake someone's hand, you shatter their hand. Like, and he looked me straight in the eye, so I was like, oh, this guy means business. And he goes up and he's like, hey, man, can I help you? Like, shakes my hand. I was like, hi, my name's Elias. I'm here for the 9 a.m. interview. And he's like, kid, how long have you been here? And I was like, I got here like at 8. And he like looks at me, looks at the skateboard, and he's like, did you skate here? And I go, yes, sir. I skated here so I could have time to change so I wouldn't, you know, smell bad for the interview. And he's like, all right, that's dedication. I like that. Come inside, man. I'm sorry I'm late. He opens the store, turns on all the lights. He's like, and he starts, he's like, help me, man. Go over there and turn on the light and go press that button. It'll turn on the radio. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm already working and I'm not getting paid. Yay, child labor. And so I go, I do all that. And he goes, all right, man, give me about 10, 15 minutes. I'm waiting for my third key to get here. I'm going to have them open the rest of the store, open the doors, or whatever, and we'll go in the back and have the interview. Okay. Thank God that place had freezing cold AC. So I was like, oh, look at the sweat is evaporating. And he goes and just disappears into the back room. And I go, perfect. Now's my chance. And I reach into my backpack. I grab my little can of Axe body spray and just I sneak it under my. No, no, hold on. I didn't bathe myself in it. I just was like, just so I can smell fresh.
Trying to seduce him?
Maybe. And I stuck it under the shirt and just one under each armpit, one in the center of my chest, like the commercials instructed you to.
This was before he met me. Learned how to be a real boy.
Anyways, so I snuck the can back into my...
to your butt.
Definitely into my backpack. And I was like, all right, good. We're smooth sailing now. We smell good. We're cool. We're fresh. We smell nice. And finally, homeboy comes out. We have the interview. He asks me a bunch of questions. Tells me basically that I have the job. And I was like, okay, cool. It was a seasonal job. So he told me, he's like, listen... If we like you a lot, we'll keep you. Otherwise, like all other seasonal jobs, and he knew I was young, so he's like, in case you didn't know, all seasonal jobs, it's like a contract, right? You're only going to work for us for X amount of time, and then that's it, and then we let you go. And I was like, okay, sir, that's fine. You know, I just wanted to get more experience, and I was trying to be super polite and respectful the way that my parents and my grandparents taught me to be. Mm-hmm. So I worked there for like a little bit. That seasonal job was like... November to January or something, because I got hired in October of that year working at PacSun. And I think I was at that job like a month and a half, and I hated it.
No.
I hated it. I hated the customers so much. Like American Eagle customers were fucking terrible.
I don't remember I remember American.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't remember the kind of.
They were like a mix between.
Shit. No?
They were, but it was like, imagine if like a Hollister exec got told to tone it the fuck down, and the very first place that they walked into after being told that was the Gap. And they were like, white walls, bright lights. But with a taste of Abercrombie, but not so sexualized, that's what we'll do. And that was American Eagle. And you know what? To their defense, they had nice clothes. I couldn't afford anything of it at all. And when I went to go quit, this fucking assistant manager lady was like, oh, well, I mean, we were going to let you go. And I was like, really? I mean, at this point, I'd already quit. I was like, hey, listen, I don't want to work here anymore. Like, I didn't know that that's how you did it. I didn't know that that's not how you did it. I didn't know that you had to do, like, the 2 weeks or whatever. You don't, but it's, like, courtesy so you don't burn bridges or whatever, right? It's just, like, an insurance policy, right?
Heckum.
It's an insurance policy.
Sure.
And so I told her, like, well, I was just going to quit. I really don't like working here. I mean, you guys never answer any messages from when I text you. about my schedule and all the customers here are terrible. And she just was like, oh. And I was like, but what was your thing? Like, what were you going to let me go for? And she's like, oh, because unfortunately, like, you don't really fit the culture and the look that we're going for here.
The culture.
Like, the fucking, you stuff your culture. Anyways, so she tells me that, like, I didn't have the look or the vibe or whatever fucking adjective she decided to use that day. Vibe wasn't in, like, the cultural lexicon at the time yet.
No, but definitely culture.
But was. Culture was, and, like, all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I sure told her, I was like, well, you guys pay me like $7 an hour, so I can't afford anything that you guys sell here. So unless you guys have like crazy discounts you want to offer me, like PacSun did.
Offered 10%.
Basically. And I was like, yeah, no, not for a $91 pair of jeans. No.
Yeah, no.
You can go fly a kite.
Yeah, I took my 10% at Forever 21, but Forever 21 clothes was...
$1 a shirt, yeah.
Nothing, like,
you're paying cents for like a skirt.
Rich in Forever 21 clothes.
Wow.
Rich bitch.
Can you mute yourself, please?
No. Thanks.
So yeah, like that was it for a little bit, and I was, you know, I was working at PacSun, and I was really enjoying myself, and I had gotten a good handle on the store and how to run the place. And then eventually I got a job working at a place called Lush. Makes like handmade soaps and shampoos and stuff like that. And that interview wasn't like a bad interview in the traditional sense. It was just weird because I was the only guy that had applied. And the team was all chicks. And so when they interviewed me, it was like three people and it was all girls. And they're like, so why do you want to work here?
I like to touch people's hands.
I like your fingers. Ooh.
I like the smell of pretty stuff.
Honestly, I just liked it because it was inside of Macy's at the time, right? So I'd be in AC all day because I'm a pretty princess.
Mm-hmm.
And I will, like, my first time working for Lush, I was single dude. And I was like, oh, the chicks here are pretty. Yeah, I get to work with hot chicks. Like, let's do it, you know, as any, like, 16, 17-year-old guy would do, right? And the pay wasn't terrible. And the hours were actually pretty solid because they were giving me full time, which is awesome, you know.
And your go-backs were fucking garbage.
My go-backs weren't anything because I had to walk 2 feet to go put a bar of soap back, like, big deal, right? And it was interesting because back then Lush was way less corporate and way more free, so we could kind of run that kiosk how we wanted, right? But it was cool. I learned a lot working at Lush, actually. I learned a lot about skincare and, like, the proper way to exfoliate and the proper way to moisturize and, like, how face masks works.
When I go shopping there, he's like, all right, I know about this product and then this product taken over by this other one. Then they merged it and then this one's great for your hair and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but it has come in pretty good.
Yeah, it has.
Thanks.
Fucking ungrateful turd.
Even though he steals all my shit, but, you know.
Yeah, whatever, but it looks better on me anyway. Point is that, don't look at me that way. My hair is fabulous.
I'm in danger.
Yeah, basically. Every day of my life. So yeah, that interview was just weird because, like, I distinctly remember them having, I guess they were kind of expecting a girl in the way that they had structured, like, the questions for the interview. So when I was like, sup, it was like, ooh, how? But no, it was good. I really did enjoy working there. It was dope. It was like, eventually I wanted to work there in my dumb 16, 17-year-old brain because I was like, good money, full time, and chicks. And what ended up happening was that I basically ended up working with a bunch of people who were like my big sisters.
Yeah.
You know, and then we had one guy who worked there. I think his name was Ivan, who knew my actual older sister. So again, it was like I was working at PacSun and Danny knew my sisters, and then I was working at Lush and Ivan knew my sisters. So like everywhere I went,
I mean, you're all like,
there was an interconnection. Yeah, it was all like one big interconnection. So like my parents were always like, no, he's safe, we know the people that he works with, they've known him since he was a little kid, everything's fine.
Yeah, I feel like if you live in that area,
it's bound to happen.
Look for work in that area.
Yeah, exactly.
Bound to kind of mesh.
Yeah, exactly. So then I'm trying to think of like bad interviews I had after that.
I had an American Eagle situation with Bebe.
With who?
Bebe.
Oh, God, that's right. Bebe. Ugh. What a dumb brand.
I don't know why, knowing myself.
Thank God that they're bye-bye now.
Are they?
I think so. I haven't seen a Bebe store in, bro, since the dark ages. Like,
well, I went and applied at the International Mall.
That's right, because that was your stomping grounds.
That was my stomping grounds. Yeah. And I think I got the, or I think we got to the point of the interview that it was like, okay, well, you know, we expect our, you know, our employees to dress this way. And I'm like, okay, cool. And how much are you paying? Oh, we're paying probably garbage, probably like less than $7 or probably at $7.
When I started in 2005 at PacSun, the Florida minimum wage, I think, was $7 or $7.25. Yeah, it was $7.25.
So it probably was $7.25. Yeah. And when I looked at their prices, I'm like, yeah, right, dog. Am I fucking paying a 90-something dollar tank top with
$7.25 money? Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Like, are you going to give me like a... like a package, like, hey, welcome to the team. Have like a,
here's an outfit.
A 5-day outfit. You know, like, no, that wasn't the deal. No.
Now, PacSun gave us, we had our 450s at the end of the year for holidays. We got four items, 50% off. Four purchases. Originally, they were dumb about it. At first, they were like, yeah, it's four transactions at 50% off. And then later, they caught on that we were abusing that shit like the animals that we were. And they're like, no, no, you savages. It's four items of clothing, 50% off.
But I would, advantage of that sale.
But the first time that they had that sale and they like told me how it worked, I was like, hold on a minute. Because you remember Bullhead jeans that they used to sell? So they used to have a sale. I'll never forget this. It was buy one, get the other one half off.
Yes.
So you'd buy one pair at $69.99 because that's how much Bullhead denim was. And you got the other one 50% off. So I was like, you mean to tell me I can buy like eight pairs of jeans for like the cost of two of them? And they were like, your math is super fucked, but yes. Like, basically, you moron. Put your stupid lanyard on and get back to folding clothes, you fucking maniac.
I took advantage of that. I bought a couple of those.
But man, let me tell you. Woo! I remember one year I was there. I think I walked out of that store with like $250 worth of clothing for nothing for a steal. That shit was baller, son. I remember I even did that shit with shoes one time. I was like, are shoes part of it? They're like, oh, it's the whole store. So you, we can have the employees help us clear out inventory. And I was like, don't mind if that do.
They just didn't really have a big shoe collection.
Nah, we eventually stepped away from shoes. We used to have everything. We had skateboards. We had surfboards. We had shoes, sandals, a lot. We had it all. But we didn't really have any competition. Eventually, we had stuff like Zoomies and we had Quicksilver and the Van store and stuff like that. But for the most part, man, PacSun was the king of the hill back then. And we were treated like it, too, because everyone else in the mall was like, you had the preppy kids at, like, American Eagle, Hollister, Aeropostale. You had the...
Aeropostale.
You had, like, the goth emo. Aeropostale was basically preppy kids for immigrants.
I mean, I was going to say it, but it's
true. It's true. It's the fucking 14 Venezuelan kids you went to high school only shop at Aeropostale because they're like, I don't like American Eagle. And then you had like the goth, emo, rocker, smelly kids at, I was about to say at Home Depot.
What the
fuck? At Hot Topic.
Hey.
Hey, listen.
I wasn't a smelly kid. I was an emo, but.
You were an emo. We were all emos. So you had those kids. And then you had like the what's it called? The kids that worked at like Up Against the Wall and like Wet Seal.
Man, Wet Seal.
Yeah, yeah,
so
Forever 21, Charlotte Russe, all of that shit. And then you had the fucking stoners, quote-unquote, and the surfers and skaters who all worked at PacSun.
Well, there was a PacSun back when I used to roam the streets of Dolphin Mall. Izzy and I, our chill spot was Dolphin. So every Saturday, my dad would drop us off around, like, noon.
Begrudgingly, I'm sure.
Yo, and we were there all day, just
all day. All
I wish
night.
I had like a step counter at that point because we would just walk around that fucking mall like lunatics. But anyway, we had a Van store where the Hot Topic is right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, I think there still is a Van store. There's a Van store. There's a PacSun. There was a skater store where they sold skateboards.
I remember. I used to, that's where I bought one of my first longboards.
And then there was a American Eagle.
What was the name of that skate store? Oh, my God.
We would go in there and be like, ooh, Skater Boys. Avril Lavigne.
Listen, if you think for a freaking moment the girls didn't do that when I was working at PacSun, and it wasn't for my fugly ass. It was just for the general ambiance of the boys that shop there and some of the guys that work there would be like, oh my God, Laguna Beach. And we knew because we weren't the Laguna Beach crowd. We were the fucking, like, if we had to use California as like a marker for where we were basically billed as like the Long Beach fucking like beach rats. Right?
Oh, right by Mexico too.
Yeah. So we were like, no, listen, you want Laguna Beach, you can take your ass next door to Hollister. All right. You leave me out of this shit.
Yeah, but so we'd definitely hang out there, and then we'd go to PacSun, and then, yo, but, I mean, back then, there's some hotties with a body over there.
Your what is going to make me what?
Izzy and I, of course, would play Hard to Get and be like, oh, we're just going to go to LPT and pretend that we're going to play video games over there.
Nope. It definitely is a vibe. I miss it. My final like bad interview, because after this one, I don't think I've had any bad interviews ever since. I pretty much nailed all of them. There is a office near where we live, that provides a service for people coming from out of the country.
Wait, you interviewed here?
I did. And essentially what they do is that, let's say you graduate with your bachelor's degree in fucking, I don't know, Bolivia, and you have your bachelor's degree in architecture and you want to come to the US and become an architect, these people will basically help do like a credit transfer to let you know, like, hey, you have the equivalent of a 10th grade education, or you only need to take 2 semesters of your bachelor's degree program here in the US and you'll be fine. Right. And the name of the company, I think, is what was Joseph Silney and Associates or something like that.
Damn, you ready to call these people out, huh?
Fuck them. Anyways.
Our nickname for them was Jay Slimy.
Yeah, because the owner was fucking terrible. Jeez. Yeah, super sleazebag. And whatever. I had interviewed there. I think you were working there at the time, right?
I forgot.
Yeah, I think you were working there at the time, and you got me an interview, and I interviewed with, I think her name was Hilda? Hilda, the office manager. What an absolute cunt. Anyways, I didn't really care about working there, but I forget what was going on, that I needed a job or something like that, and I just didn't want to do what I was doing at the time anymore. And I was like, man, see if you can get me a job so we can work together, or at least work in the same office. That'll help us with our commute and everything.
Yeah, because we were going to school full-time at that point.
We were, yeah. And you helped me make a resume. It was kind of rushed or whatever, and we made 2 versions. We made, like, our test one, and then we made the real one. And, like, a fucking idiot, I didn't have a printer, so I called Hilda and I go, hey Hilda, it's Eli, how you doing? And she's like, hi, how are you? And I was like, oh, I'm fine, I have an interview scheduled with you tomorrow, yada yada yada, is it all right if I email you my resume, because I don't have access to a printer, and I don't, like, the ones at school are in the library and it's closed over the weekend, and my interview is with you on Monday or some shit like that. And she's like, yeah, that's fine, don't worry, send it to me and I'll print it out. She clearly didn't look at it, because she printed it out the morning of the interview. She sits me down and I interview with her and with Mr. Silney. I was about to call him Mr. Slimy. And he was just like an old, I guess, fairly affluent American man. And he told me a bit about himself and his history and how he started the company and blah, 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 or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. And he asked me some questions and I answered them and he liked my answers. And then he starts reading my resume and eventually he gets to, you know, the part that I'm going to tell you now. And he asks me a question and he's like, how detail oriented do you think we need to be when looking at student documents? And I was like, oh, incredibly detail oriented. You know, we're looking at their grades, we're looking at what school they went to, and we're trying to help them get a better education. And he goes, oh, okay. And you think that that's important? And I was like, yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, you know, we're all human, so we're gonna make mistakes every now and again. But I think the important thing is how we handle those mistakes, not that we made them. He didn't hear that last little tidbit of wisdom, because I, on the bottom of my freaking resume, on the very last entry, I don't remember how the sentence started, but it ended with, And assisted with blah, blah, blah. And blah, blah, blah was in all caps. Yep, that was
me.
And that was you that wrote that while helping me. Thanks for that one. And she didn't name it like, danger, danger, test resume, do not send to anyone. No, it was literally just titled identically to my other resume. I don't even think it said test or anything. There was like no real way of discerning which one was which. I was too dumb to look.
Opening it up? I mean.
Yeah, clearly. I did about as much work as Hilda did on that one. The only person who cared to look was Mr. Slimy.
Yikes.
And so he was like, oh, okay, so explain this. And he turns it over and I see where it says blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeesh.
Yeesh.
Yeah, yikes. I didn't try to talk my way out of it in the moment. And I was like, well, like I said, everybody makes mistakes. And he wasn't having it. And
everybody
he's like,
makes mistakes. Fakes.
Yeah. And I was like, well, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I mean, that could have happened to anybody. And he's like, well, you know, you need to understand that this place, you know, we take detail work like this, you know, very seriously. And I was like, at that point, I knew I wasn't getting the job. So I just got defensive. I was like, well, you know, Mr. Silney, you seem to be a very, you know, what was it? You seem to be a relatively bright person. In the moment, I thought that I was kind of evening it out. I wasn't trying to call him stupid, but fucking Hilda was like, I'm sorry, what do you mean by seems to be? And I was like, well, no one in this room is an Einstein, but I'm pretty sure it's evident.
Bro, that bitch was sucking that D for sure.
100%. For sure. And she was, and I told her, and I was like, well, no one in this room is an Einstein, so let's be honest. But Mr. Stoney, you, like I said, you seem like a very bright and intelligent man. I'm pretty sure that you have seen people make bigger clerical errors. And again, like I said, the important part is not the error. It's how you address the error and correct it and make sure it doesn't happen again, right? And this motherfucker doesn't even answer me. He's like, you know what? I don't think we need to go any further with this interview. Doesn't say goodbye to me. Doesn't shake my hand. Just gets up, tells Hilda to see me out, and leaves. And I was like, okay, sure. Thanks a lot. And Hilda was like, okay, well, just wait right here. And I was like, no, I'm good. Thanks. I'll leave. And she's like, no, but we have to do some paperwork. And I was like, are you hiring me? And she's no. And I was like, then I'm not signing anything. Goodbye. And she's like, but, and I was like, but nothing. And I walked out. We didn't tell her that we knew each other, by the way.
No, because I put a different address.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had no idea that we knew each other.
Yep. We were slicky slick. I mean, not slick enough that we deleted the blah, blah.
Yeah, but whatever. That's your fault.
And the sample email, but.
But whatever. That was it. That was the worst interview I've had. It's not nearly as bad.
I'll take one for the team.
It's not. Hold on. It's not nearly as bad as the answer you gave at your Best Buy interview.
I don't fucking give a shit.
Yep.
I am who I am.
And what you yam is?
What I am. Oh, meow. Meow.
So, you want to tell the lovely listeners about the time you got interviewed at Best Buy?
I was working at Forever 21, and I was team lead at the time. But there was a change in management, and the manager that I thought was going to end up being the store manager ended up getting swiped by some CUNT that nobody liked. And I decided to start looking for work elsewhere. Anyway, so I was a cutie patootie, and a lot of people flirted with me when I was working at Forever 21.
Wow.
Yeah, yep, I went there.
Wow.
Cutie patootie.
Oh my God, please stop.
And there's this chick who would shop there pretty often. And whatever, we started talking. She's like, oh my God, how do you like this job? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh my God, this job fucking blows. Like, this chick could have been undercover from Forever 21. And I would be like, this place fucking sucks.
She's like, I'd rather kill myself than show up here one more day. And she'd be like, oh,
if I can get paid for picking my boogers, I will fucking apply.
I'm going to go look at skirts. Thanks.
And she's like, oh my God, well, you should apply at my place. And I was like, oh yeah, where's that? And she's like, oh, at Best Buy. And it's the Best Buy in Doral. I was working at International Mall. So it wasn't too much of a drive than what I was already driving to.
Fair enough.
She's like, all right, well, I'll put you in contact with my manager. I'll let her know. And then when you get the job, we'll go celebrate. And I was like, ooh, okay, celebrate. You jelly?
What crazy fucking poaching is this?
Whatever, no.
No one's ever asked me to celebrate getting a job.
Gotta flirt when you get opportunities. Don't blink at me like that.
No, I'll blink at you all I want.
Anyway, so I go.
My beautiful eyelashes.
The first, this fucking Best Buy. I mean, you worked at Best Buy, so you know. It was like, it's like four interviews.
Stop copying me, God. Biter.
So I go through the first three interviews. I go, it was like a manager, assistant manager, no sé quién,
carajo. How many fucking interviews did you have?
Four fucking interviews.
I had one. It was a group interview.
Oh, I applied long before you started at Best
Yeah,
Buy.
Yeah, so they might have changed their practices.
Bro, because four interviews for a Best Buy job, like,
dude, I didn't.
I'm gonna go be the manager.
I didn't even have that many interviews for the freaking police department, like,
or me for the airport. Like, no, no.
Who does the Best Buy thing? So whatever. Is?
Three interviews and I slayed them. But the last one was with another manager that I had not spoken to, plus all the other three. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. I got this. I've already spoken to all these people. They like me. They know that I was referred by someone who they really like. And I was like, all right, cool. I got this. I went out there. The interview was like in the morning. I came with this super cute, like, bright yellow outfit. Super, super cute. And the interview was going fantastic up until the very end when they're like, hey, so we like to have fun with these interviews. And right there, it should have just been like, skirt.
That's when the announcer comes on. But Millie wasn't going to have any fun with this interview.
At all.
Because Millie was high as tits.
Shut the hell up. I was nervous.
Nervous? Is that what you call? A thing. Yeah, Millie fucking hit the crack pipe is what she did.
Like, he hit the crack pipe.
Is it crack? Is it crack that you smoke?
I know, it is. It is.
Is it?
So they're like, oh, we like to have fun with these interviews. And I was like, okay, cool, shoot. Like, well, we like to, you know, ask a random question. And they go to this, like, binder or whatever that they have. And they're like, all right, so if you could be any animal, what would you be and why? 18-year-old Millie completely disconnected herself from professional Millie.
I'm glad that you had a dissociative moment, just split personality.
I was like, well, in IRL, I was like, yeah, that'd be fucking fantastic.
And your
and
answer
I
was?
Go ahead and I tell them, well, if I could be any animal, I'd be a cat. And they're like, oh, okay. Why?
Elaborate, please.
And I was like, oh, it would be a cat. Because I could sleep all day or some shit like that.
It was so I could sit around and sleep all day.
And do nothing.
And do nothing.
Yep. Thanks for finishing that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, safe to say I didn't get the job.
Shocker.
Even with the hookup that I had, the girl that had a crush on me.
You know, that girl was like, oh, God.
Bro,
damn.
What a file.
You know.
Bro, I got out of there and like the high was gone.
Yeah, I wonder.
Gone. Cringing my way back home like a sad bitch.
Were you just repeating that line? Well, like, I can imagine you in the car. Oh, fucking cat Millie.
32 years old. I mean, now it's just a joke.
No, it's funny, but I already imagine you in the car out loud to yourself, like, Millie, a cat? You stupid bitch.
I think you and I were talking.
No, we weren't.
No?
Because
no.
I would have stopped talking to you if you had told me that story when we were talking.
This was right before we started talking.
Eesh, that explains a lot.
Wow, bitch. Wow. But I did share this with you, and I was like, oh, well, now that you're going to apply.
You waited, though. There's years until I heard this story.
Well, when you went and
applied. Yeah, it triggered this horrible PTSD.
I was like,
all right,
well, prepare yourself. They're going to ask you this question. Did they ever ask you that?
They did. And I gave them the best answer humanly possible.
Fuck you.
Yep.
You had a leg up just because of me.
If that girl had her way, she would have had your legs up. But hey, all right, that's gross. Anyways, Millie had told me that they were gonna likely ask me if you could be any animal, what would you be? And they'd try to get you with it at the very end of the interview.
Also, not fun because they literally just reused the same.
Yeah,
fucking
fun
question.
My ass. That's just probably a thing that they do. And I was like, I'm going to give these people the nerdiest answer they've ever heard. And I was like, yep, I'd be an Amazonian driver ant. And they were like, okay, what the hell is that? And I was like, well, two things are going on there. The Amazonian driver ant is one of the strongest ants in the world. And it can lift something like 7 times its body weight by itself. So on its own, it's incredibly sufficient. But in a team, Amazonian driver ants are known to be some of the most efficient workers in the animal kingdom when working together in tandem with other driver ants or something to that effect. And these people were like,
blown
my freaking God. That's an my God. And they, bro, they must have written that shit down. They're like, this kid's a fucking genius. Because I got hired like on the spot. Like I didn't even make it to my car and I already had the email and I checked it on my phone and they were like, you got the job. And I was like, woo, I guess. And I really, for some reason, I was like, I want to work in the video game section. And they were like, that doesn't work that way. You're going to go to PCs.
Loser.
Yeah. Worst job I've ever had, I think. So yeah, that was a thing. You told him you'd be a cat.
I mean, that's not so bad. I mean, that's definitely my worst. I really haven't had a lot of bad interviews.
Have you ever had a best interview?
I don't know. I mean, honestly,
like one that you just were like, bro, the crush is real. Like, I destroyed that interview.
The interview that I had before I got this job, it was the job that I was offering me a crazy amount of money, but I had to drive all the way to Miramar.
Yeah, no thanks.
That shit was a slam dunk. That night, I got an offer. And I was like...
I remember, and it was for like a ludicrous amount of money. Mm-hmm. And you were like, nah, dog, I'm not going to Miramar.
Hell no. They would have had to pay me...
Probably an additional like 20 or 15 or 20 more on top of what they were giving me.
Definitely. I was not driving all the way to Miramar for that shit.
And they knew it too. Cause I remember you told me that they were like, well, we know the distance is really a lot to ask. And
I even asked to see if maybe I could do like 1 to 2 days working from home, but they were so anti working from home that I was like, all right, well, sucks, bro.
Yeah. Find somebody else, bitch.
But I fucking killed it. And I spoke to the owner.
I remember
who interviewed me. But aside from that, I think I've just gotten cockier as I've gotten older. And I think I've had some interviews that I've fucking told the bitch some shit, but one of the last ones that I remember, I went and applied as like an administrative assistant to this like import export company in Medley. And as I was driving there, I'm like, babe, I don't want to fucking come here. Fuck this place. I don't know why the fuck I even applied. Whatever. I just went through with it. I had already gotten dressed. I was already literally in the parking lot. And when I go in, it's this like outdated shack, all wood inside, like teak wood.
No.
Like that they haven't taken care of anything. Like ye olde 70s, like attorney's office furniture. And the chick that's in the front, she was this, like, amagada, super Hispanic chick.
I would be, too, if I had to work there.
Hey, whatever, bro. Your life, your choices.
I mean, it was your life and your choice, and you almost worked there.
But I didn't.
I know.
But I didn't.
Thank God.
And and when I got there, I was like, I went up to a couple people, and they're like, oh, no, it's her. This chick who's supposed to, like, greet you when you walk in, her being, like, the receptionist or whatever. She goes, all right, yeah, just hold here. I was like, okay, all right.
Cool, thanks.
And then I waited probably like 20 minutes. And I was ready to just get up and get the fuck out. Because I'm like, you're wasting my time at this point.
Yeah.
And when they finally called me in, it was like the owner and like the dad or some shit like that. And they were like making up these expectations for like very little money that I was like. And they're like, all right, well, being in your position, you're going to be the administrative assistant. You'd be helping us out with, you know, literally everything. Is there anything that you saw today firsthand that you would change if we were to hire you? And I was like, well, if I could change it? Well, first of all, it would be getting someone in the front who actually cracks a smile and welcomes you when you open the door. Because if she's the first person that someone sees and that person is going to be a client, you're not going to get their business. They didn't know what to do with that answer.
Like most businesses in Miami, they probably wipe their ass with it.
Of course.
Cause, you know,
I don't know what else they
asked
me.
That's the caliber of people we have in the city.
I know. And I was like, all right, well, thanks so much for having me. Deuces.
It's right here. He's right here. He's literally right under my desk.
But I've been pretty lucky. pretty lucky with interviews. I'd say so. Hence, Best Buy. But you know, that's their loss.
They could have had a cat person.
They could have had a... I mean, I was a cat person at that point.
You were because you owned cats, you filthy weirdo.
Oh, little Adam.
Oh, little one.
Yeah, I've been good.
Sorry, I just find it kind of funny that you weren't... Meow. At the same time that the car horn went off, so it sounded like you just made the girl like, honk.
I wish.
It'd be amazing. Probably the highlight of all jobs that you've had, though. Not the job itself, but in contrast to bad interviews. We don't have time for this, like, to go into depth, but, like, best exits.
Oh, yeah.
I think the most boyfriendly thing I've ever done was get you out of Kohl's. Oh. So I'm going to tell this story before we leave, because we're going to get going, because...
I mean, I have two top two, but Kohl's is definitely up there.
Yeah, Kohl's is pretty amazing. We were still living at home with my parents. This is fairly early in our relationship, but not so early that it was, like, weird. Like, it wasn't, like, months in. This was, like, a few years in already.
Yeah, I think we were, like, 19, maybe?
We got together when we were 19.
Oh, yeah. Shitballs.
This was, like, when we were 22. It was 21, 22, around there. Because, remember, Mom still had the Suburban, and we were still living at home, and you were working here at the Kohl's. Sorry about that. You were working at the Kohl's that was at Town & Country Mall.
Oh, yeah.
And I was working at Miami-Dade College. So
I don't even remember that. What year is it?
Sorry, did we say 2019? 2009 is when we started dating. We were 19.
Correct.
This is probably 2011.
Whatever.
Because we didn't move out until the end of 2013. So this could have been between 2011 and 2013. 2012.
Burl. Too many dates here.
Too many dates. Anyways.
At one point or another.
Some date. Millie had started working for Kohl's and she fucking hated it. Like every minute of it, she hated it.
It wasn't bad at the beginning.
Nothing is really ever that bad at the beginning because you're new and shiny and you don't know how much you hate everything yet. Yep. So we would regularly communicate throughout her shift. She'd send me a text. She'd call me when she was at lunch or whatever. And we'd talk. Oh, babe, how's your day going? Oh, you know, terrible. I hate everybody. The whole usual thing. I've had a million go backs. They put me on the register. I'm in the back doing stock. I'm dealing with my shit store manager or my crappy assistant manager, whatever. One day, they put Millie to do go backs and cleaning up the dressing rooms.
I was the only person.
Oh, by the way, yeah, this store was chronically understaffed.
I don't know what happened.
And they only ever hired old women.
Yeah.
So when they had young people, they were like, get the whip out.
And those women are still working there. It's insane.
Because they don't say anything. Because most of them don't even speak English. So they just show up and they're like, sí, welcome to Kohl's. And then they just disappear and just clothes somehow magically makes its way back onto a rack. Granted, at the speed of smell, but it gets back there, right? The real heavy lifting gets taken care of by whatever young employees they have who they burn out and then those people quit, like you did. So Millie calls me one day. I was off that day. It was like a Saturday or something. And Millie calls me and she's like, not crying, but I can tell she's like upset. And she's like, I don't want to go back. Like she was on her lunch.
Oh no, I wasn't even on my lunch.
No, you were about to take your lunch. You called me because I think you took like a 15 or something, like a break or something. And you were like, I don't want to go back. Like I don't want to work here anymore. And I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, no, I had to go to the fucking dressing room and I went to go take clothing out of one of the rooms and some lady fucking like pissed herself and just left her piss soaked clothing that she tried on with the tags and everything just sitting there for us to pick up. And I was like, wow.
What's fucked is that I was forced to pick that up and clean that up because I was the only person in that section. Yep. Legit, the entire women's
was you.
Like clothing, the modern no sé qué carajo for like younger women, and then bras and underwear.
Yeah, all you.
All me.
Yep. So she tells me this, and I hear her voice start to crack, and I was like, uh-oh, here we go. This isn't good. And at the time, we were, like Millie said, we were going to school full-time, right? So I was like, baby, we don't barely have any bills. We live at home with my mom and dad. We can find you another job, and you have money from your Pell Grant, right? Because back then, financial aid would just be like, hey, here's $3,000 for the whole semester. Figure it out, right?
Yeah. I was just responsible, and I wanted to have...
Right, employment, you know, extra spending money, yeah, for saving and stuff. And you were just like, I don't know. At this point, I had already gotten dressed and I had gotten the car and you hadn't noticed. And I was like, oh, okay. And I had stayed on the phone with you and I was just driving to Kohl's because I already knew what my move was. I was like, no, I'm getting her out of there. And finally, I pull up outside of Kohl's in the Suburban. And you were like, all right, babe, I'm going to go outside to my car and just, I'm going to go grab lunch. No, not to your car. I'm sorry. You were going to walk over to Publix. I remember you told me you were going to walk because the Publix is in the same shopping center and go grab lunch. And I was like, okay, babe, well, I mean, you know, just tell me when your shift is over and I'll come pick you up. Because I picked you up almost all the time, you know, when you were there. Because I pick you up at night because you were usually closing. And you walked out of the doors and I was like, hang, hang, in the Suburban. I was like, sup, you ready to go? And you were like, where are we going, lunch? And I was like, lunch, we're going home. And you were just like, I don't, and I was like, do you want to leave? And you were like, I think. And I was like, do you want to leave? Like, do you want to still work here? And you were like, no. And I was like, then get your ass in the car. And the biggest smile came on your face and you were like, fuck this place. And you turn around and you fucking gave the store the finger. You got in the car and I was like, all right, let's go. We went to lunch and we went home and played video games. Literally, I think we went home and played World of Warcraft.
I wonder if they
until
were
like midnight.
That was the longest lunch ever, Millie.
Yeah, Mills never come back. Still, we're waiting for her to clock in all these years later. That was the only superhero moment I've had in our relationship. That was it. That's as good as I've gotten.
Thanks.
Yeah, I try.
You know,
set the bar too high for myself.
You got me out of a rough one.
Yeah, and then I got you right back into a rough one by staying with me. Sorry about that.
So sad. All right, well, that is it. We've been hanging out with you guys for way too long.
Wait, I'm sure you guys are sick of talking to us. But that's it for the show, everybody. Thank you so much for stopping by and listening to me and Millie babble on about nonsense and feelings and things. I hope it helped. Be safe, be kind, and please make sure to call your parents. Mine are in Europe for the first time in their lives. I love you all. Have a great morning, noon, or night.
Bye.